Go ahead and turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. We're going to begin a new study this morning. We have just finished an 8-week study in discipleship. And I think it was a lot of fun. We looked at being a disciple. We saw that this really was a very important study in our lives. This is a key one. A disciple is one who gives their life for Jesus Christ. We saw a contrast between being a believer and being a disciple. Remember this, a believer costs us what? Being a believer costs what? Nothing. It's free. It's a gift. By grace you're saved through faith, and that not yourselves is the gift of God. Being a disciple cost us our lives. It cost us everything. And we saw that. We made that distinction. We said at the end of that study that our goal was to be a disciple and then to make disciples. For the next few weeks, what we want to do is we want to look at a study that's sort of a follow-up study to our study on discipleship. I'm calling this Things to Learn. The handout that I gave you, and I don't even know where they are. I don't know what a... Oh, you got them, man. What the, how do I have it titled at the top? We've got it, Learning as a Disciple. And so the idea here is that we want to think about some things to learn as disciples. Do you realize that the Greek word for disciple is mathetes, and it means a learner. So that's literally what a disciple is, a learner. And we would say one whose life counts for Christ, who wants to learn and keep growing. In this study, we're going to look at some different things that we need to learn and keep learning as disciples. Life is a progress and a process. We had to learn to walk and to talk and to write and to interact. We never are to stop learning. When a person stops learning, he dies. One of my favorite prophets was Prof. Hendricks. He said he knew people who had stopped learning at age 30 and they'd been dead for 40 years. And it's true. You know people that they don't want to learn anything new and they think they already know everything. And that's one of the sad things in life is when a person says, don't tell me anything. I already know this. I've already studied that passage. And sometimes that happens. This morning we want to see some aspects that are tied into our learning as a disciple. We want to think about where do we go to learn and then what do we need to learn. So we want to see some important areas so that we will not stop learning. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thanks for each one in this room. Lord, I love this class. I thank you for allowing me to get to be the one to teach this class. I thank you for each one who comes on a regular basis, who has set this time apart to interact with other believers and to grow and to see the Word of God and just to be here. And Lord, I just thank you for a great time and the fun that we have. Lord, we ask you that as we look at this study for the next 2 to 3 weeks, that you would teach us, that we would understand things, and that we would be able to understand the areas that we need to keep on learning so that we can keep on growing in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that this room is full of disciples, full of people whose lives are counting for Jesus Christ and who want to make a difference. Lord, may we keep on being disciples. May we keep on learning. We ask all of this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. One of the things that we've said a lot of times is, I like interaction. I know when it's a lot of people, it's hard to interact. It's hard to ask questions. Sometimes you don't want to ask a question in front of a whole bunch of people because you think maybe it's a dumb question or maybe it doesn't match or something. Don't worry. Just ask anything. The goal is to interact with each other so we can know and apply all this stuff. Let's think about our lives for a second. You know, things are changing so fast. In fact, the technology that we have is just going beyond what we can imagine. We have to keep on learning just to keep up. You know, there's a commercial. I see this guy, and he's sitting on the beach, and it says, would you like to sit on the beach, write a note, and fax it? And then it says, you will. Things are changing so fast. We have to learn things all the time. You know what I had to learn? I had to learn how to program a VCR. You know who can do it just like that? My kids. You've seen the jokes where the old guy's in there saying, I can't even read these little dots, and the little five-year-old comes in and goes, this is how you do it, Grandpa, and they press the buttons in, and it works. And that's the way it is. We have to learn all this stuff. Let me ask you a couple of questions. Do any of you guys remember when there weren't TVs? Now, nobody wants to admit it. Here's the deal. TVs were before us, but we didn't have one. I can remember that on our street, we were the first people to ever have a television. And I was 3 years old, and the guy drove up and got this huge thing out. It had a thing about this big, round, and they set the thing in, and all of us like this turned it on. And the only thing that was on was this test pattern. You remember those test pattern-looking things? We were living in Shreveport, Louisiana, so everything had, you know, we got this. And everybody from down the block, everybody was in our living room looking at a test pattern. You know, going, look at that test pattern. That thing is sharp and clear. And that's what we did. Howdy Doody came on. Every day I watched Howdy Doody, 4 years old. It was good. It was good. Anyway, yes, right. Do you remember 45 records? I mean, I know they have that kind of stuff now, but do you remember that's what everybody bought? Do you remember when 8-tracks? I had bunches of those. I gave them all away to somebody who was dumb enough to take them, you know. And I said, here, you can have them. I mean, what do you do with those things? Then cassette, and now CDs. I remember when a person came up to me and said, did you get a new CD? And I thought, what are you talking about? A bank certificate of deposit? What are you talking about? I didn't know what they were talking about. And they said, no, these are... And I said, is that a record? No, 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 it's not a record. It's a CD. I'd never seen one of those. We have to keep learning. Things keep changing. Think about computers. CD-ROM. Sound cards, modems, downloading, file manager, online. You talk to people now and you say, send it to me. My email address is... A year ago, I didn't even know what email was. We have to keep learning just to keep up with all the changes in our world. Learning is a great thing. God gives us the ability to learn. In fact, the Old Testament states that it is the glory of God to conceal a matter and the glory of man to uncover that matter. Nothing's new to God. He created it all and did everything. Put it all together. God wants us to learn, and as a disciple, we have to keep learning. We learn through study. We learn through experience. One of the saddest things, as I said a while ago, is when a person stops learning and they say, just don't confuse me. I've already got my mind made up. One of the marks of maturity is that we are continually learning. As we said, faithful, available, and teachable. That's the key. This study, we're going to focus on some things to learn, a number of things particularly. Where to go to learn, what to learn, the exhortation to learn. Let me just put the outline up for us. Everybody should have it. We're calling it learning as a disciple. And we're going to, first of all, just hit back on being a disciple, a learner. We're going to raise the definition again. I've got a little thing I want to read to you that I hope will challenge you as far as being a disciple. And then we'll look at the actions. This is the stuff we already know. We looked at Romans 12, 1 and 2 and Hebrews 12, 1 and 2 in our study of being a disciple. From that, we want to tie that into keeping on learning. Where do we go to learn? We see 2 Timothy 3 and 2 Timothy 2 give us that idea that where we're going to go is the Bible. That's how you learn. That's where the truth is. That's where the basis for authority is. And then, what do we need to learn? And I've got four things there. We're going to go into more detail, but I just put those four down. Look at this. We need to learn God's way of salvation. Now, we understand that. There's a lot of people who don't. But we need to learn not only the way, how to communicate it, and how to clearly do it. But look at this one. The fear of the Lord. What does that mean? Are you supposed to be afraid of God? What does this mean, fear of the Lord? Then we're going to look at learn to do good works and learn to be content. And that last one is one of the keys in our lives because we live in the richest nation in the whole world and we're the richest people in the whole world and we're not content with anything. We got everything we could want and we're still not content. And so we need to learn God's way of salvation, the fear of the Lord, to do good works, and to be content. And then we're going to end our study, and it maybe only take us just a couple of weeks, maybe more. It's just according to how much interaction you want to do and how much we want to talk about it. But we're going to, the idea, the exhortation to continue in that 2 Timothy 3:14, which says, continue in the things that you have learned. That's the key. And we'll see that as well. So I think we'll have a great study as we go through this. Think about it. People grow and learn as a person. You grow physically and intellectually. As a child of God, we grow spiritually. And see, spiritual growth is knowing God's word and applying that word in our lives. And then we know as disciples, then what we do is pass that word on to others and help them understand it and apply it. That's sort of the key. God is our Heavenly Father. He wants us to learn, and there's a lot to learn as a child of God. You probably turn to Matthew 11. Just stay there. Let me just read something to you. This is from one of the best passages, you know, one we always talk about in Ephesians 4, where he talked about our goal is to equip the saints, do the work of the ministry, build up the body of Christ. But our ultimate goal is to be mature. He says this. He says, until we attain to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. He goes on to say that we're no longer little children tossed to and fro, but grow up in Christ. That's our plan. And that means we got to keep learning and growing. I don't know about you, but I love to read. I love to study. I love to learn new things. That doesn't mean I always apply them or even like them. But I like to dig stuff, and I hope you do. And as a believer, one of the things we've got to do is get into the Word of God and to love it. You know, you read the Psalms, and does it make you embarrassed when David writes, "I love your Word, O God, as a deer pants for the water"? So, and I'm going, I don't love it like that. I'm not up there dying of thirst for the Word of God. We should be that way. As a newborn babe, we ought to desire the sincere milk of the Word that we may grow by it. That's what we see. Ephesians says we ought to grow. Let's think about something. We want to just start here. Remember, go back to our definition, the whole idea of definition. A learner, a disciple is one, we spent 8 weeks on it, but is one who knows Jesus Christ, and not only knows Jesus Christ, but decides to live for Christ. You know, you think about it, the key thing of a person's life, first of all, is salvation. When they put their faith in Christ as Savior, it's a gift. It costs them nothing. It's not what they do or promise to do or keep on doing. It's simply they take the gift of eternal life, which comes by faith. They go from darkness to light, from death to life. We begin a process of growth. The Bible calls that sanctification, as we become to conform to the image of Jesus Christ. And we said in our study of discipleship that the key thing is going to make that happen, is going to have that happen even faster, is that when you and I decide that we're going to be disciples, that we're going to live our lives for Christ. And that's what a disciple is. A disciple is one who lives for Jesus Christ, one who has died to self and lives for Christ. It's one who takes up the cross. What did that mean? What does it mean to take up the cross? Anybody remember from our study before Christmas? What does it mean when it says, take up your cross and follow me? Exactly. To die to yourself, to give up your life. That's what a disciple is. A person who says, I want my life to count for God, and I will die. Right? Die to myself and live for Jesus Christ. That's what a disciple is. My prayer is, and we stressed that study, and it's the most I've ever stressed it in the 10 years I've been here. My prayer is that all of us in this room who know Christ, that somehow, sometime, we have made that decision that our life is going to count for Jesus Christ. It's good. You'll never be the same if you do that. If you choose to live for Jesus Christ, you'll never be the same. Your life will be the greatest it could ever be, and you'll never be the same. We saw two things. We said that it's where you offer yourself as a living sacrifice, Romans 12, 1 and 2, where you offer yourself not being conformed to this world, but being transformed by the Word of God. That's the key. It's an action where you say, my life is yours. We saw also is the Hebrews 12, 1 and 2 passage, where it says that we run the race, lay aside anything that slows us down, run with endurance, looking unto Jesus. That's day in and day out, step by step. I think one of the things that we've got to understand is that the Christian life is not all these high points, as sometimes you turn on TV and it seems like that's all you see is everybody's in this joyous high point. Christian life is day after day living for Christ. There are a lot of daily grind in life. And the Christian life is just as real living for Christ when you're cutting the grass as it is when you're teaching the Bible. It's just the same. Everything in our lives is our opportunity to live for Christ. That's why he says, lay aside anything that's going to slow you down. Run endurance patiently, looking unto Jesus. That's the focus. That's a disciple. My prayer is that every one of us in this room have died to ourselves. We've offered ourselves as living sacrifices, and on a daily basis, we are removing anything that's slowing us down. We're day after day after day running with endurance, keeping our focus on Christ. That's the key. That's what we saw. Let me give you this. Listen to this. I pray this describes you. This is a person who is a disciple, and this is what they say. Listen, I'm a disciple. I have the Holy Spirit. The die has been cast. I've stepped over the line. I will not look back, let up, or back down. My past is redeemed. My present is servanthood. My future is secure. I no longer need position, power, or popularity. I don't have to be recognized, praised, or rewarded. I live by faith, walking patiently, uplifted by prayer, looking to Jesus. My face is set. My goal is heaven. I cannot be bought, compromised, detoured, lured away, or delayed. I will not give up, shut up, or let up. I will go on till Jesus comes. I have died to myself and I live to Christ. I am a disciple of Jesus. It's pretty powerful, isn't it? You want that to be you. We're not going to put up or shut up. We're going to tell the world of Jesus Christ. We're going to live righteously. We can't be bought. We can't be compromised. We don't need popularity. We don't need positions. We don't need authority. We have the Savior. We have the one we can look unto. We don't need what the world has to offer. But they need what we have to offer. And that's salvation. Let's be disciples. From that, we want to move to this second section, and that is, let's keep on learning. Let's don't stop. We've got to keep growing, and there are two parts. Where do we go to learn? What do we need to learn? We want to think about where do we go to learn. We first of all think about Jesus. Let's start with thinking about Him. What do you think about Jesus? I'm going to use this. How do you describe Jesus? Let me give you a one-word description, and you give me some word descriptions. I say Jesus Christ is a Savior. How do you describe Him? Perfect. Good. Almighty. How would you describe Him?
Loving.
That's right. He so loved us that He came and died for us. Holy. Exactly. Perfect and righteous and holy. How about King of Kings and Lord of Lords? How about Redeemer? Savior. Deliverer. Creator. He's all of those things. There's one thing we left out. He's a teacher. Look at Matthew chapter 11. Look at verse 28. Jesus is speaking in verse 28 of Matthew 11, and He says, "Come unto Me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." He's saying, come to Me. And notice, "Take My yoke upon you and learn from Me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. For My yoke is easy and My load is light." You know why His yoke is easy and load is light? He's the one carrying the load. And he just put it around Him and say, it doesn't feel very heavy. No, he's the one carrying it. Come unto Me and learn. That's what He's saying. Learn from Jesus Christ. He's the teacher. In fact, He's the greatest teacher who ever lived. Remember that time I've told the story about the Pharisees had sent some people to arrest Jesus. Religious leaders sent them out. Said, go arrest Him. And they came back and they didn't arrest Him. And the people said, what's the matter? Why didn't you arrest Him? They said, nobody ever talked like that. Nobody ever taught that way. The people would be out there and they would say, this man teaches as one having authority. He's the greatest teacher of all time. Wouldn't you have loved to heard Him taught? Wouldn't you have loved to have been in a group and hear Jesus teach the Scripture? Wow. He's the teacher. But you know what? We have His Word. Colossians says that in Him dwells the fullness of wisdom and knowledge. But He no longer is here. We can't walk around with Him. But He has left us His Word. The living Word has given us the written Word of God. And it is alive and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword. It can do anything. It is perfect for us. And so we have the Word of God. John 17 says the Word is truth. This is where we go. Listen to this. I want to read this to you because it's a powerful statement. This is Romans 15, verse 4. Listen to this when he talks about the Bible. He says, for what was written in earlier times. And he's talking, really, Paul is writing this, and he's talking about the Old Testament. But since we have the whole Bible, we can apply the whole Bible to this. He says, for those things that were written in earlier times were written for our instruction, that through perseverance and encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. He says, the Bible was written for our instruction, and through the Word of God, we get encouraged. We have the hope. That's why we keep on digging the Word. The greatest thing will ever happen to you as you study is when you see a truth and you see it by yourself. Nobody told it to you. You didn't get it from some commentary. You're looking at something. You understand it. And then you read some book and it says the same thing you got. And you went, I knew that. I knew that. I got that. You'll want to study it again. You'll want to keep getting in it. You'll want to know. You'll want to learn. And so Jesus Christ, the greatest teacher has given us His Word. Where do we go? The Word of God. I want you to turn to 2 Timothy. And let's look at this. This is talking about the Bible. 2 Timothy chapter 3. You know, I don't know if I can impress upon you enough how important the Scripture is and how important it is to know. Now, we say that all the time. And as believers, we would, every day, to anybody that ever asked us, we'd say the Bible's the most important thing we have and we need to know it and apply it. But we live as if it's really not. Because too often, we don't really even study it. It is the basis for how we live here. It is the most important aspect of our lives because it is God's Word in written form given to us. I mean, how would you feel if God would appear to you and speak to you? You would go, this is the most incredible day of my life. God appeared to me and He told me. Well, He just told us a whole bunch. He didn't appear to us physically. But He has given us His written Word. That is just as important as if He were to appear to you tonight and give you some instructions. I told you the story about a guy who came to see me and he said, you know, Jesus appeared to him last night. He said, at the foot of my bed, Jesus was there. I said, really, how do you know it was Jesus? And he said, look just like Him. And I said, okay. And then I said, what did He tell you? And he said, He told me I need to go witness. And I said, you know, He already told you that in His book. See, sometimes we're waiting for some word from God when He's already given us a whole book of revelation here. And we need to know it and apply it. Look at 2 Timothy. I love this passage. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Look at it with me. It says, all Scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. Now, what it says, all Scripture is inspired. What does inspired mean? God breathed. That's exactly what it means. In fact, that's the Greek word is God breathed. What does it mean to you when I say that the Bible is inspired? Let me ask it this way. How would you make a distinction between an inspired play by Shakespeare and the inspired Bible? Because some people say, boy, he's an inspired author. What does it mean when we say the Bible's inspired?
God directed the writing
of it. Okay, so it's God's word through people? Some people would say, if God gave something through people, it's got to have error in it because people are sinful and they mess up. Does the Bible have error? How could that be? How can He give us the Bible through sinful man and it not have errors in it? He can do anything. And it's His Word through people. It says in 1 Peter that holy men of God were moved by the Holy Spirit and gave us what he calls there the prophecy, the Scripture. He can do anything. This is inspired of God. This is God's Word. You know, I don't want to get legalistic on this, but our society today doesn't treat the Bible. I mean, there was a time in our country that everybody had a Bible, and everybody had a Bible in their living room on their table, but you never set another book or anything on top of a Bible because the Bible was God's Word. You never wrote in your Bible. It's not wrong to write in your Bible, but there were people who used to say, don't write in a Bible, that's God's Word. You can't write, you can't put your scribbling on the same page of God's Word. That's why when study Bibles originally came out, there were a whole bunch of people got real mad. And they said, how can some man put his thoughts on the same page of God's Word? It's okay. But do you realize that we've almost lost this majesty of what this really is? This is the Word of God given to us. He says that all Scripture is inspired by God and profitable. That means it's good for us. And he has four things there. Tell me what they are. Look at the passage and tell me the four things. What's the first one? Teaching. What's the second one? Reproof. Third one? Correction. And the fourth one? Training in righteousness. See, the Word of God gives us the teaching, the truth. And then it shows us where we're wrong. And then it shows us how to get right. And then it shows us how to stay right. That's the Bible. That's what it's for. He says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's inspired of God. It's profitable for those things, for teaching, reproof, correction, for training in righteousness, with the end result is that the man of God, the person of God, may be adequate. That literally means mature, equipped for every good work. A person is mature. That's the purpose of the word, to grow, so we can learn by it. The First Peter passage where it says, as a newborn babe, desire it so you can grow. That's the key. It's much like I read this the other day. It's like making strong tea or weak tea. The longer you put the tea bag in that hot water, the stronger it gets. And it's been said that the longer we stay in the Word of God, the stronger we get. There's one more place I want you to see. Look at, just turn, if your Bible's like mine, you just look on the page right before it in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. It says this: be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, handling accurately the word of truth. The old King James used to say, rightly dividing the word of God. He used to say, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman need not be ashamed, rightly dividing. The Bible says that you and I are to dig into the Word of God. We're to study it. We're to know it so we can handle it accurately. We can figure out how it puts together things. Do you know how the Bible fits together? We've done this before. Remember one time I asked a whole bunch of questions and we didn't do so great? But the idea is that, how does the Bible fit together? When was David before or after Saul or Ezekiel? Was Daniel before or after Ezekiel? How much older was John the Baptist than Jesus? We start thinking through the Bible. We say, how does all this fit together? The Word of God, we're to know it. We're to apply it. Let me tell you this. I think I told you this right even before Christmas. But when you talk about knowing things, let me tell you, as far as the Bible is concerned, I think there's three things you must put together from your study. First of all, you must know facts, truth, and information. You must know it. You must know who did what and where and when they lived, and you got to know how that stuff fit together. You got to know stuff about the Old Testament and the New Testament. You got to know how many books were there. By the way, there was a write-up in the paper on Friday from another church in this town, and they talked about the books of the Old Testament, and they gave the wrong number. You know how many books are in the Old Testament? How many? Ain't nobody wants to say. How many in the New Testament? 39:27, yeah? We got kids in Awana can know every one of them, don't they? How many verses does a normal one of those kids in Awana who've been through it for a year or two, how many verses do they know? Do you know? Is it about 150? My Catherine is 7 years old. Does she know that meaning? She probably knows close to that. My little girl knows 150 verses. She's 7 years old. I mean, you know. How many do I know? Because they're studying it. They're putting it in their mind. We must know the truths of the Word of God. We must know how it fits together, the doctrines and those kind of things. And then we must take from that our philosophy for life. How are we going to apply all this? How are we going to put it together? And those are the key things, and they tie together. Make it a point that you're going to come to the Word of God to learn it, to get into the Word, to realize this is where we go. It's the basis, John 17:17, your Word is truth. That is the only place you can go and get truth. I mean, there's some other things, but the bottom line is the Bible never changes. The author of it never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's perfect. Are you studying the Bible? Let me ask you a question. Think about this. Do you? Now, let's talk. I want to make a distinction between quiet time and study. Quiet time is that every day, in a sense, you would get along with God and you would read the Bible and you'd pray and you'd have what I call a quiet time. Well, it's just you and God. I pray that every one of us have that most every day. There's some days you may not have one. Don't feel guilty. You just can't do it. Something may come up. But as a whole, on a daily basis, you should meet with God and talk with Him and pray and read His Word and all that. I'm talking about something separate. I'm talking about Bible study. I'm talking about where you get off by yourself and you take that scripture, and as we do in our 4:12 studies, we observe, interpret, and apply. You dig that word and you see what it has to say and you see how it ties together, and then you see how you can apply it in your life. You're studying the Bible. Do you have a time? Now, you got busy lives. If you could start with one day a week, maybe 1 hour a week, that you're going to dig the Bible. Now, that's a lot. That's going to be a big commitment. That means, like on a Saturday morning, you may get up an hour earlier. And you're going to study for an hour. Not have a little quiet time, but you're going to dig the Bible. And you start with the book of Philippians, and you get that overview and how that fits together. And then you look at Philippians 1:1, and then 1:2, and then 1:3, and 1:4. And do you do that? When you do that and you begin to put it together, you're going to be so excited. You'll begin to grow and you'll begin to rightly divide the word of truth. So I challenge you as a disciple of Jesus Christ that you set aside this coming year that you're going to get a time, if it's just once a week and it's 30 minutes, 20 minutes, start with something that you know you can do, that you're going to get into the scripture and you're going to study it. And you may say, well, I don't even know what to do. Come see me. Get in one of the 4:12s. We teach in the 4:12s how to study the Bible. We tell you all the tools you can use. We'll give you all of that. So do it. That's the key. You have other opportunities. You have Sunday morning, Sunday night, Sunday school, Wednesday night. See, our church, we try to teach the Bible, whether it's on a Sunday morning or a Sunday night or a Wednesday night or in each of our Sunday school classes. We try to teach the Scripture so that you can continue to learn more about the Bible in Sunday school. I'm amazed, really, at how many people come to Sunday school. I tried to figure it out one day because, you know, when you think about it, there's a lot of people who, when that first service is over, they just leave. And then there's a lot of people who come in for the second service but weren't here for Sunday school. But I figured it out one day, and, you know, almost half our people go to Sunday school. That's pretty good. That's really pretty good. Hey, so one of the things we want to do is use as many opportunities as you can to get into the Scripture for yourselves. Now, what we're going to do next time is we're going to say, what do we need to learn? What do we want to start with? We'll see how that ties together. As disciples who have trusted Jesus Christ as our Savior, we've taken up our cross. Let's offer our lives looking unto Jesus, keeping on learning. As we think about learning, two things: what and where. Where do we go? We go to the Word of God. Now, let me give you a couple of applications. We'll open up for questions. Never stop learning. It's the key. And what do? You go to the Word. Let me pray, and then we're going to open up for questions, comments about anything we've talked about, even things that we haven't talked about, but we want to do that. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray as we start this year, we who know Jesus Christ, we who have offered our lives as living sacrifices, looking unto Jesus, running that race, we want to keep learning. Lord, we're thankful that we have the great teacher, Jesus Christ. We have the Word of God, which is live and powerful, which is true. Lord, we realize that your Word is inspired. It tells us what's right. It tells us where we're wrong. It tells us how to get right. It tells us how to stay right. The goal is for us to mature and to grow and to be equipped. We're to rightly divide it. And Lord, I pray for every one of us in this room that we will commit ourselves to getting into the Word of God, that we'll begin to know it. Not because somebody else taught us, but because we studied the Scripture ourselves. Lord, I pray for each one of us in this room. I know that everybody's time is short and our lives are full. Help us to make as a priority not only our quiet time, but maybe even at least once a week, a study time. Thank you for these truths. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.